We head to the shores of Lake Superior, Shawamigan Bay to be exact, here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's our next installment of conversations with Wisconsin mayors with the city of Washburn. But first, we travel to our Wisconsin Public Radio year-end member drive as it kicks off today. I'm here with Susanna Michaels. Hi, Susanna.
Hi, Kate. I'm so glad to be here with you.
I'm so glad to be here with you. And we're here to say it is Giving Tuesday, a global celebration of generosity. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. And Susanna and I want to say that your gift now will ensure the programs you rely on, like The Morning Show, have a strong start in 2022. So choose WPR this Giving Tuesday. You make WPR programs possible as we head into the new year when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Such an honor to be with you here, Kate, and your listeners on the first day of our year-end member drive. And like you said, it's Giving Tuesday. So cool. And in honor of Giving Tuesday, we have an exciting opportunity for your listeners this morning. When 350 people make a donation today, an extra $15,000 will be secured for WPR programs.
Wow, that's so awesome. And this challenge is offered by a group of generous members, and it's their way of encouraging you to join them in support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount right now makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're listening right now. You are a Wisconsin Public Radio listener. And we know that in part you enjoy your WPR listening because we are commercial free. And that means that we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and business sponsors are important. And there is just another source that is so very important as well.
That is correct. The largest piece of the funding for WPR programs, the backbone, it comes from you. Your support makes all the difference. It's how things work here. And when you give, you keep quality, independent news that is informative for your life on the air. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I know that WPR is personally important to you as you listen every day. Well, it's probably also important for you that everyone in the state has access to this high quality information as well as entertainment.
So become a member with a contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120. You're not only doing something good for yourself, you're doing something good for the whole community. WPR is listener supported, and that's why your participation is so key. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have an opportunity to come together and support the organizations we care about. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day for people around the world to support the nonprofits that make a difference in our communities. Your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio powers the trustworthy news and community connections that you and so many others rely on. Join the movement today with your gift now. Here's how.
That's right. Join the movement. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your year-end donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
That's right. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories, the programs, these conversations with Wisconsinites that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or 888- 202-2552.
the day is young, and that means that our Giving Tuesday challenge is still in full effect. We are looking for 350 people to donate today, and when that happens, WPR will get an extra $15,000 from a generous group of members. So thank you, and join in right now.
And choose one of the food bank gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR and provide hunger relief to people in your community.
And Kate, we heard from Raymond in Superior, who says, I especially appreciate all the state government news that is explored in depth by a well-prepared and skillful morning show team. So thank you so much to you, Kate, and your producers. And join Raymond right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now we head to the city of Washburn on the shores of Lake Superior's Shawamigan Bay as we talk with mayors from all over the state. Washburn's population is hovering at a little over 2,000 residents as of the recent census data. It's a community that is aging that we'll talk about, has lost population in recent decades. Do you live in Washburn or Bayfield County? What is on your mind? What is your quality of life like? 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Mary Motif was elected in the spring of 2020 as Washburn's mayor, also director of Bayfield County Tourism. Mayor Motif, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. Let's talk housing first. That is one of the pressing issues that Washburn is grappling with lack of housing. Explain what the situation is.
Sure. And Washburn is not alone in this struggle. This is definitely something that is at least statewide, if not nationwide. And the problem, one of the problems that we're running into is obviously the cost of construction is really high right now. We have a lot of people who would like to live in the city of Washburn, but there just is not a lot of available housing stock for them. We have a number of people that are aging that would like to downsize into something that is more manageable, a smaller one-story home. And we're just having a backup here. And another factor that is contributing to that is we have a number of people that are turning homes into short-term rentals. And that's a whole separate problem that is quite complicated in and of itself.
I would imagine Bayfield County relies heavily on seasonal workers to handle the influx of visitors, especially in the summer months. Where do seasonal workers live?
Well, that's a good question. That's always been a challenge, and people get very creative with housing their seasonal workers. And there are some changes that are being made where campgrounds maybe are allowed now in towns that didn't have campgrounds allowed, and there could be some situation there where just for the season at least people could live in a campground type situation with temporary housing there. A lot of people have extra rooms in their homes, or they have an extra house where they're housing their staff, so it does get really, really challenging when we have such a high seasonal population to begin with visitors coming to the area.
What is Washburn doing to address the problem? You mentioned a piece of this is short-term rentals.
Yes, and I actually just met with our legislators the other day to talk about that topic in particular, along with our EMS situation. And the short-term rentals, back in 2017, the state legislature made a change so that local municipalities were no longer able to control whether or not someone rented their home out for a rental. And I understand that people, with property rights want to be able to control their own properties. But when you live in a city where the housing stock is, being slowly taken over by short-term rentals, it really affects the ability of a community to function. We need a certain number of homes that are for our community members and our families. And so we're hoping that there could be some sort of limitation put on that so that we would have some local control over how our housing stock is used.
In terms of new housing stock, some developers who build multifamily units or who build apartment buildings say, look, we're not interested in building out smaller housing projects. They're not as lucrative. Smaller housing developments in more rural areas don't yield the same payoff as urban areas. Do you encounter that sentiment?
Yes, definitely that is a challenge. And what we're doing is we have a group of municipalities that are working together we just completed a housing study. And what we're looking for is potentially things like a developer to come in and do scattered housing development so that it would be a number of projects in our region so that it would make it worthwhile for them to come in and build a number of units. And even if they're not the really large buildings, maybe by making it multiple buildings, it would be more attractive to them.
So the housing issue, a work in progress. Moving on to emergency medical technicians, what are the issues there?
So again, this is not a local issue here necessarily. It is a statewide issue that's becoming more and more challenging. Small communities like the city of Washburn have a limited number of people available to be on our ambulance service. It requires a number of hours of training. Obviously, it's not the first thing that people think of when they want to volunteer for something, and people are already busy volunteering for the things that they are doing, like with their kids' sports teams and at church and things like that. So the first problem is we just have a limited number of people to draw on to make an ambulance service work. And then we do contract with some of our area towns. And what that does is allows us to do cost sharing when it's time to buy a new ambulance or something like that. It makes it more affordable. And then we can assist by providing service to those very nearby towns. So we're just running out of people to fill in those gaps, and we're having more calls on top of it. So also people, stepped back a little bit during COVID for various reasons. And so we just have fewer and fewer people able to take those ambulance calls when they come in.
So are you planning to hire then more EMS workers?
Yes. Yeah, so our goal, and we do have a referendum on the spring ballot to help pay for this. Our goal is to hire 2 full-time EMTs that would cover the majority of those daytime shifts, which are really the hardest to cover, because that's when all of our other volunteer ambulance members are working their regular jobs.
Yeah. Washburn Mayor Mary Motif explaining the issues that she's taking on in her city in northwestern Wisconsin on the shores of Lake Superior. What issues in Bayfield County deserve more attention? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead. More conversation here in the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with mayors from all over Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're zooming in on the shores of Lake Superior in the city of Washburn today. First, let's move into our year-end member drive for an update. I'm here with Susanna Michaels, and today is Giving Tuesday. It's a global celebration of generosity and your time to take action. Set your favorite programs up for success in 2022 with your gift during our year-end member drive. Maybe you've already given this year, or maybe you make ongoing monthly gifts. Today, make a special year-end gift for the programs you rely on all year long. Takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you'll want to make that special year-end gift, because today you can have an even greater impact when you and 349 of your fellow listeners make a gift for the programs you count on, like The Morning Show. You will help secure an extra $15,000 for WPR. It comes from a group of generous members.
Love that. Love that challenge. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform you, that inspire you, and the entire state of Wisconsin.
So your participation right now is vital. Be one of those people to help meet this challenge. I don't want it to be a nail biter, Kate. I want us I don't want to be up at 11:59 checking the results. It all starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You turn to the Ideas Network for smart conversations about compelling topics. You count on hearing thought-provoking discussions every day. Perhaps you're part of the conversation. And because WPR is listener-supported public radio, your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really makes a difference, and it makes these discussions possible.
And what great discussions they are. I'm really already enjoying your show today, Kate. And there's so many great things to do today when you give. And one of them is to become a sustainer. As a sustaining member, you'll give an amount, say $10 or $15 a month, and that will automatically come out of your bank account or your credit card. And that monthly gift will continue until you ask us to make any kind of change with it.
And this means we can depend on you the way you depend on us, day in and day out, year in and year out. You're still in control. You can change your giving at any time. So become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You're busy. It can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos, but no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the great programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether you set it at $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And as we look forward to 2022, we are so grateful that Wisconsin Public Radio has such strong listener support. I work in fundraising. I see that every day, and it's amazing. Gifts come in one at a time, and listeners provide our largest source of funding. If you haven't given yet this year, now is your time. And if you have given this year, we appreciate your extra year-end gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Shout out to William in Wausau, who says WPR is my favorite morning station. Diane in Eau Claire says, I rely on you daily. Thank you for your excellent work every day. William and Diane, thank you. Your gift right now, so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks. Now we're meeting up with mayors from all over Wisconsin. We've come to the county seat for Bayfield County. That is Washburn, about 2,000 residents. What comes to mind? Tourism, stellar recreational options, parks, campgrounds. Do you live in the area? 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. We have the mayor of Washburn, Mary Motif, who stays with us. So let's look at the aging population. The U.S. Census data shows that more than 20% of the population is 65 or older in Washburn. What burden is this having on city government?
Well, definitely it affects the number of ambulance calls that come in. Because there's less home health coverage out there, people are calling for an ambulance for things that they never used to. And that's part of the reason why we're having more ambulance calls. We do have a nursing home here in town, and something that we're hoping to do that ties in with the housing plan is, to encourage them to add on to their assisted living. You know, there are other housing options for transitional housing, but definitely lots of aging population here and the challenges that go along with that. So many things are all tied together. All of the challenges are tied together, and it's really a complicated thing being mayor. It was a first an interesting first year learning about all of these complicated issues and challenges and how they are all tied together.
You've come in during a pandemic. How has the pandemic changed Washburn?
Sure. Well, definitely in a couple of ways. Everyone, because we have a lot of people that come to this area from elsewhere, everyone was very worried right in the beginning, especially about how that would affect us and our health in the community. And some businesses are still not open to the public to come in and are doing only curbside pickup. Mm-hmm. Whereas others have adapted in other ways, and you know, everyone has made that decision for themselves how they are going to best cope with it. And so we are seeing some lasting effects from that. And the other thing that it's done is actually it's made it more popular for people to come here because we do have lots of open space and outdoor recreational opportunities. And so we actually did see quite a few travelers. And thankfully, many of them were being very careful during the pandemic and still are about, you know, their behaviors and social distancing.
I want to pick up on that because you've been Bayfield County Tourism Director for many years now. What's the tourism season been like this fall? Very quickly here as we're short on time.
Sure. It's been very busy, honestly. We had everybody lost some visitor spending last year, but we lost the least. We only lost about 2% of our visitor spending. And so we did still have quite a few people coming here and probably more people coming here that had never been here before because they were changing their plans for their longer trips.
Mayor Motif, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Glad to have done that. And have a great day from the shore of Lake Superior.
Oh, you too. Mary Motive, Mayor of Washburn, leads Bayfield County Tourism. Thanks to Mary Hamill of Washburn for the suggestion. If we should talk with your mayor, fill out a 2-question form at WPR.org/mornings. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're tackling the latest on the pandemic front with a top Wisconsin infectious disease physician who's helped us navigate the past 20 months, fielding your questions about COVID here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's get a read on our year-end membership drive that is officially underway. I'm with Susanna Michaels, and it is Giving Tuesday here on the Ideas Network. You count on WPR for in-depth discussions, and it's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. Your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and as we head into 2022, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, we do have this really exciting opportunity today. When you donate, you can be one of 350 people to help secure an additional $15,000 for WPR programs. A group of generous members have created this Giving Tuesday challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
Oh, that is so great. And your participation is vital. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
in the first part of this hour, we heard from the mayor of Washburn. I really appreciated that conversation. It's keeping me in touch with what life is like in the variety of settings we have in Wisconsin. I live in a city. I'm learning about the challenges and issues of a small town. And those are the kinds of conversations you can count on every day from the morning show.
And WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many cities and topics that you learn about and tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And maybe that amount is a dollar a day for your Wisconsin Public Radio listening. When you think about it, a dollar a day is actually a really great value. It's far less than a cup of coffee or a soda or a day of cell phone service.
That's right. A dollar a day. It comes out to $30 a month. And you can set that up as a monthly transfer from your bank account or charge to your credit card. Make your gift now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Margo Potacek, and I'm from Madison, Wisconsin.
And I'm Betty Potacek from Madison. If we want to keep Wisconsin Public Radio, we have to support it.
There have been times when I haven't been able to give, even between the time I was a student and now. Even if you're able to give a little bit, I think that makes a big difference. And the sustaining membership, where automatically every month it comes out of your checking account, you don't notice it so much that way. And it's super easy, and I think it makes a difference.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And the day is young. You can make a difference right now before the sun has fully risen. Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You will feel great all day, and you will know that you made an important impact right from the get-go.
And our Giving Tuesday challenge still in effect today when 350 people make a gift for WPR 350. That means $15,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs you rely on.
And we do have, we haven't mentioned it yet, these thank you gifts this drive. They're food bank thank you gifts. So when you give $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, not only will you make a difference for WPR, you can also provide hunger relief to people in your community.
So now is a great time to become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for your support. Now to the pandemic, where in Wisconsin, young people 19 and under account for about 1 in 5 confirmed COVID cases, according to the latest state health department data. But most hospitalizations are hitting the elderly the hardest. What questions are on your mind about COVID, about the Omicron variant? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Dr. Nasia Softar is Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Health, Professor of Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Softar, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
Omicron variant first. This variant has really put the world on high alert. How serious of a threat is this? What is your initial assessment?
Well, we know that it's transmissible pretty easily because it's popping up around the globe in very short order. So at least as contagious as Delta, potentially a little bit more. But beyond that, you know, it's a lot of speculation. You know, for instance, the concerns are, will the vaccines work as well against it? And I think the answer is we don't know at this point, but it would be very unusual for the vaccines to not work at all. You know, it's possible that there could be a little decline in effectiveness, but likely not a lot. But we don't really know the answer to that at this point.
The WHO, the World Health Organization, is really urging the world to work together to contain this variant that was detected by scientists in Africa. And if shutting down borders isn't likely to stop the spread, what will work to contain this highly mutated virus?
Well, I think the measures that work against COVID, you know, there's the non-vaccine related measures, which is masking and distancing and hand hygiene and all the other things that you do for respiratory viruses. And then there's the biggest thing, which is the vaccines. And of course, there's a lot of inequity in vaccine access and distribution in various parts of the world. And it just goes to show you, I mean, it's a global pandemic. So focusing on just one part of the world isn't going to contain the global aspect of it.
You mentioned masking, and last week we saw Dane County health officials extend the indoor mask mandate to January 3rd. The county health officials say almost 76% of residents are vaccinated, and Dane County was the only Wisconsin county to have an indoor mask mandate as of October. How much difference do masks make?
So masks are an adjunct to vaccine. You know, none of these measures are an either or. They're supposed to be used as a suite of solutions. So masking is most helpful when you're in closed, crowded situations where you don't know what the vaccine status of other people is like, or if your immune system is compromised such that you're concerned that perhaps the vaccine won't work as well as it would in people who are immunocompetent. So all of these are add-ons, and when things are not going in the right direction, such as, you know, with this emergence of this new mutant and potentially the fact that case counts are going up, then masking is a very useful adjunct.
We still should pay attention, I would imagine, to the kind of mask we're wearing and how we wear the mask.
Yeah, so the ideal mask is something that is comfortable, so you're not always touching it and trying to adjust it. It's snug fitting, but yet breathable, and it's multi-layered. If you're using a disposable mask, I think, you know, we've had such trauma from the lack of PPE in the earlier days of the pandemic that people are reusing these masks probably longer than they should. So if it's a disposable mask, then dispose of it. And if it's a reusable mask, then think of it like a handkerchief, which is that you'll want to wash it very frequently. And that's really what masking is. What we see is that people are sometimes wearing the mask, but it's slipping down because it's not snug enough. They're always having to tug it up, and touching your nose and mouth is not a good idea because it defeats the purpose. So a good mask works. A mask that isn't worn right probably is counterproductive.
We've also seen double masking, sometimes people putting a surgical mask over a cloth mask. Any new insights there?
You know, I think it's really if you stick to the principles of this multi-layered. So for instance, if all you have is access to a thin cloth mask, then adding something on top of it is not a bad idea because it gives you those layers. But really a single mask that is well made and that has those layers is sufficient.
We're talking with Dr. Nasia Safdar, who's Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Health, Professor of Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, getting at all of the latest COVID pandemic developments and questions with yours at 800-642-1234. Moving on to vaccines, the CDC says children age 5 and older can receive a COVID vaccine. How is vaccine availability affecting the rate of kids who are hospitalized?
Well, I think vaccine availability is in a much better place, at least locally here and in the US, than it was before. Of course, that's not the case around the globe. So there's a lot of barriers and a lot of challenges and lack of access to vaccines for everyone, including children. I think here, depending upon where one is at, there has either been a lot of desire for the vaccine, which has led parents to bring their kids to get it, and then it's been easy to get. There's also a group that are not as excited about vaccination in general, including children, and so that is a real challenge to get those rates up high.
We've seen school vaccine clinics, and we've also seen a real push to get the younger children vaccinated as they're in the classroom each day. What has uptake been as you look at Wisconsin numbers?
I think in general, uptake has been good to start with. The main thing to make sure is that every child that is eligible for vaccination gets it. You know, in the past, we've seen the uptake is good for a while, and then it plateaus off, and there's a group that that doesn't either want to take the vaccine or has access issues. And so if we can get over this vaccine hesitancy in all age groups, including children, then I think we will be in a better position.
Moving on to boosters, people over 18 who completed their primary vaccination series at least 6 months ago, eligible for a booster shot. What is the ideal time frame? What can you tell us about boosters?
So the reason for the boosters is that there is literature now pointing to the fact that the vaccine over time declines in its effectiveness. And even though that's somewhat partial data, because vaccines work in a number of ways and we're only measuring one way, which is the antibodies that decline over time. But the reason for the booster is to supplement that response. And so 6 months after the second dose is around the time when we start to see this decay in vaccine effectiveness. And so that would be a good time to get the booster.
What about mixing and matching Pfizer, Moderna? Explain what's going on there.
So there doesn't seem to be any safety concern with mixing and matching, and the effectiveness is similar or perhaps a little bit better. So at this point, the recommendation is that mixing and matching is okay.
And for people who received a J&J, a Johnson & Johnson single vaccine, can then basically take Pfizer or Moderna and do so before the six-month period?
That's right, they can. J&J was a little bit unusual because it's a different kind of vaccine and it was a single dose to begin with. But for the booster, you can have whichever of the other two.
As you look at hospitalizations and people who are very sick with COVID, what are the clinical protocols at this point in the pandemic? How can you fight this when it does get acute?
Well, you know, there will be people who either despite the vaccine or because they've chosen not to get the vaccine will get very sick from COVID because they have comorbid conditions, for instance, as one risk factor. So for those individuals who get hospitalized, the mainstay of treatment is to give steroids, to give a medication called Remdesivir, and to give another couple of medications that modulate the immune system so that the body can respond adequately to the threat of the virus. Now, all of these work to some extent, but when one is critically ill, then it means staying in the ICU, potentially being mechanically ventilated, and having all kinds of supportive measures that you need to sustain life. It's very difficult to see such patients. They may stay in the ICU for days at a time, and one hopes that, you know, they will improve, and some do, but many don't.
There has been dangerous misinformation around ivermectin in particular. What can you tell us about, you know, how to fight COVID and where the misinformation is?
Well, I think the misinformation stemmed from an early desire to find something that worked against COVID, you know, anything. We didn't know anything about the virus. We didn't know how it worked, what sort of syndrome it would cause, and people were getting sick and dying. So the desire to find something effective was very understandable and natural. But over time, as it became clear that some things just didn't work despite one's wishes that they would, then I think we have to stay with science and realize that we've tried it, we know it doesn't work. So why subject people to the side effects of it? Unfortunately, I think that with social media, it has been so easy to spread misinformation and it looks very authentic when it's being spread. So somebody could well be taken in into thinking that something will work when really the data is very solid that it just doesn't.
I want to land here on how the medical teams are doing, how hospitals are doing, how, you know, at caring for these critically ill patients without a break. What are you experiencing at the hospital?
Well, I think at this point, you know, nearly 2 years in the pandemic, I think for the frontline clinicians, it has been hard because there really isn't, you know, a complete end in sight. Of course, we're a lot better than we were when we started out. There's now widespread availability of PPE and we have a better standard of care for patients with COVID. But nonetheless, it's like running a marathon that you don't know if it's ever going to end.
Do you see the burnout?
We do. I think healthcare workers as a group are very resilient and are able to forage ahead, you know, no matter what. But I think that at this point, this many months into it, there's definitely a feeling of burnout and fatigue. And added to that are, you know, shortages in staffing and so on, which also exacerbates the problem.
Dr. Safdar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Nasia Safdar is Medical Director of Infection Control at UW Health and Professor of Medicine at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, giving us the developments, the latest as she sees it on the COVID pandemic. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. Hope you stay with us on The Morning Show as we take on the next installment of our home improvement series. Some pests move inside for the winter. We're discussing control options. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Right now, we're kicking off our year-end member drive at Wisconsin Public Radio. No pests, we hope, here. Susanna Michaels, what do you say?
Nope, no pests, just donations.
We're here to say that you make the Ideas Network possible when you donate. So join the celebration of giving. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And like you said, Kate, it is Giving Tuesday. And in honor of that, we have this great opportunity for you. When you and 349 of your fellow listeners make a gift for the programs you count on, you will help secure an extra $15,000 for the WPR programs you love. And that comes from a group of generous members.
I just absolutely love that win-win. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
And so your participation is crucial. You can be one of those 350 people to meet the challenge. There is plenty of room for your gift in that challenge right now. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been checking in with a really top infectious disease specialist in Wisconsin, briefing us on the developments around the variant, the boosters, helping us stay informed and really manage personal risk in these times that we find ourselves in. These are essential conversations. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from The Morning Show.
And I really appreciate those conversations, Kate, very much, including both of the ones that we've had this hour. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount for work that works for you and then make your gift.
And during this year-end member drive, let the impact of your donation go beyond the WPR programs that you love. Ask for one of the food bank thank you gifts when you give $10 or $20 a month.
Right. This is an annual thing we do at this time of year. It's great. You will power the essential news and quality entertainment you rely on from WPR, and you will provide hunger relief to the people in your community. So get started now when you give and ask for one of those food bank thank you gifts at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Andreka, and I live in Madison. I started listening when I was a grad student here in 1976. I think I became a member when I returned to Madison as an adult. One reason I love listening is that I'm interested in a lot of different things, and WPR always has a lot of different things. I can hear everything from politics to gardening to travel information. I love just hearing that variety of things.
Give now so you can hear more of the programs you love. Go to WPR.org and click donate. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Susanna Michaels. Your support during this year-end member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10, $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
That's the right amount. And just by making your gift, you can help out so much when you're one of 350 people to give today and secure an additional $15,000 for WPR programs. A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs and that you rely on and that your entire community relies on.
But you, it's your participation that is key here. You bring WPR one step closer to meeting this challenge. So give now, any amount works, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That's WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Take it away, Susanna.
Yeah, if you are a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. And you do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just a few more seconds to say thank you so much for your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.